Hello, school counselor. Welcome back to the School for School Counselors podcast. I'm Steph Johnson, your host. So glad that you're back with me for another week. You may notice it may sound a little bit different in this episode this week. Lots of reasons for that. We're going to be working a little bit more off the cuff than normal. I'm not working with my normal setup. And a lot of that has to do with just the time of year, May. Oh my goodness, May, for some of you on into June, is just overwhelming, isn't it? It's almost as overwhelming, if not more, than the December holidays. It's just go, 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 be at all these things, do all these things. And then we have all the student needs and things that come up along with that. So it just, May is just a lot. As a matter of fact, when I sit down to record these podcasts, I give them kind of a temporary working title in my platform just so I can keep track of them. And when I sat down this evening to record this podcast, I typed in, May is too much. So can I get an amen on that, my friends? It's a wild time of year. And I know that we need a different kind of episode right now than, you know, just three quick tips to do this or three ways of looking at that. So I'm gonna do this a little differently this week. Before we get started, I want to share with you a new podcast review. We got a few new ones this week. I'm so grateful to the folks who took 2 minutes out of their day to submit a review to Apple Podcasts. Guys, this is the way the podcast ecosystem works. This is how we get shown to people who may not know about us yet, but that need to know about the podcast. And so we are so grateful for our listeners who are willing to take a little bit of time to submit that review. I even know of a few people who have borrowed Apple devices from friends or family members just to be able to put that review on Apple Podcasts. So I appreciate you very, very much. This week's review comes from someone named Podcast Noob, which makes me laugh. I like that name a lot. They say, this podcast saved this first-year counselor. They go on to say, as a first-year counselor, I try to soak up as many resources as possible, which isn't always easy. Steph helps navigate helpful versus unhelpful content in a timely manner. She also reassures us each episode how important our work is and that we're doing a great job. I look forward to every episode. Thank you, Steph. You are so welcome, Podcast Noob, and I'm just so grateful that you took time out of your busy day to submit this review. It means more to me than you know, and also because you're hearing the message that we're putting out, that school counselors' work is important. In fact, I would wager to say it's some of the most important work being done on any campus. And despite what you may feel, particularly at this time of year, guys, you are doing a great job. I promise that you are. Unless you're just sitting at your desk painting your fingernails all day, you're making a difference somewhere, and you got to hold fast to that. So thanks again, Podcast Noob, for that review. School counselor, if you want to hop over and submit a quick review, we would be in your debt forever. We just want to get the word out about the podcast to anyone that needs to hear the message that we're laying down. All right, so back to our episode. And like I said, you're going to hear me talk a little bit more off the cuff than I normally do. Usually I have kind of a loose outline for my podcast episode. This week, I'm planning on just speaking from the heart. Because as I'm perusing social media, as I'm seeing the posts going up here and there, what I'm noticing is everybody is exhausted, right? Just absolutely exhausted. And man, I get it. I am working full-time as a school counselor right alongside of you. And I can tell you, I just crawled out of one of the most intense weeks that I think I've had all year long. We had a string of, without going into too many details, some social media threats against the safety of a wide swath of schools. So we were dealing with the fallout of that. We were trying to take good care of folks, take care of parents' fears, students' fears, keep everything going as best we could. And then we had several big tragedies going on my campus at the same time. Lots of things happening. And then, of course, in May, you always have those end of year concerns, those things that pop up all of a sudden, students who all of a sudden show up you hadn't seen all year, but they're showing up with some pretty intense stuff. I have some theories about why that tends to happen, but nevertheless, May is intense. June is intense. As we wrap up the school year, it's just even more than the rest of the school year. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I am going to offer you my perspective on the end of the school year, on this tiredness, on this overwhelm, in hopes that it may help you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because it's been a hard year, right? And as I've said many times, we keep saying since COVID, but since COVID, we've seen student needs escalate. We've seen family dysfunction just accelerate. It's just crazy to me to see the changes in family dynamics. Technology is an even bigger factor in our lives than it was pre-2020. We have all these things flying at us from all these different directions. We're trying to handle all the things, right? Because we do all truly want the best outcomes for students. I mean, that's why we got into this field, right? But at the same time, we're fighting different structures, different barriers, different things that deflect our best efforts towards students. Things like inappropriate job functions, testing coordination, 504 coordination, student support team coordination, endless lunch duties, before school duties, after school duties, right? All the things that take us away from our core mission. And a lot of the time in your year, you know, it bugs you, it annoys you, you can kind of overlook it. But then as we get closer to the end of the year and needs intensify, it really starts to feel like a bigger deal, right? It really starts to grate on you a little bit more than it had before. And we also have a lot of just systemic, the best word I can think of for it right now would be oppression. That seems a little heavy, but just lots of ways that our educational system as a whole is set up to be inhospitable to good social emotional intervention. We got a lot of factors we're up against, and we're no strangers to this. We talk about it all the time in this podcast, when we get together in our School for School Counselors Mastermind chats or in our Facebook group. We're talking about advocacy. We're talking about making change in school counseling programs to benefit students all the time. But when you're in this flurry of things going on at the end of the year, you start to feel like you're in one of those calming bottles. You ever made calming bottles with students and you put the beads or the glitter or whatever it is you're using in there? And when the student is upset, they can shake that thing up. They can use some of that nervous energy, get it all mixed up, then set it on the table and watch all the pieces settle gently down to the bottom of the bottle. Right? Except for us in May, we don't ever float calmly down to the bottom. It feels like we're still in the shaking phase, right? We're still getting knocked around in this solution, trying to find which way is up and which way is down. So what do we do? I will tell you that I think in anything that you do, no matter what it is, whether it's your job, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a relationship, you inevitably confront these seasons of challenge. Right? These times where it just feels like, holy moly, what else can we come up against? Whether that's in a marriage, whether that's in a friendship, whether that's in an organization, you know, that you enjoy volunteering with, whatever the case may be. We even have that season here in School for School Counselors. And my right hand, the other side of my brain, Brooke, who you guys see around very often, stinking smart lady, has to stop me sometimes and remind me, hey, Steph, guess what? It's this time of the year. You know, about this time of the year is when you start really getting frustrated with X, Y, and Z, remember, it's the same time every year. And I so value her wisdom and her insight and her ability to call me out when I need it, because everybody needs a wonderful person in their life like that. So remember first that this could be a season for you. Maybe it's not, but hopefully this is just kind of a short time in your school year where you're feeling as overwhelmed as you are now. And if we can take a deep breath, if we can use good coping skills for ourselves, we can manage to get through to the other side and then look back with hindsight and assess, you know, where we came from and where we're headed next. I will tell you that for me, the magic bullet is micro focus, not macro focus. So often you'll hear me talk about systemic issues in our field. You'll hear me talking about mass platforms for advocacy, great needs for change. And often I can begin to overwhelm myself with those ideas. There's a lot to be done, and I have no doubt that we'll get there. I have no doubt that we can accomplish the end goal if we can figure out a way to come together and be really effective with our voices. But in the meantime, I have some times when I have to stop and really intentionally micro focus. For example, in my school counseling program, it's really focusing on the changes that I've seen in the past school year. I might flip through my daily logs. I might flip through some information that I have from the year just to kind of jog my memory about students I've seen, what the concerns were, and where those students are now. And often, that in and of itself is really eye-opening. About, I guess, a week and a half ago, I did just that. I was compiling my end-of-year data. I was looking at a lot of the names that were popping up, a lot of the kids that had high percentages of my time, and looking at where they are now, looking at the changes that we've seen in those kiddos. And it was so inspiring to let me know that not only am I on the right track, but even when I feel like the things that I'm doing aren't making the impacts that I want them to, I'm making a difference, right? I made a difference for that one. That makes me think about back in my younger days when I was working with our state teacher advocacy organization. So here in Texas, in a right-to-work state, we're not allowed to have unions. So the next best thing are teacher organizations. And I was training with one of our state organizations, learning how to influence, working on state-level committees, starting to dip my toe into some legislative advocacy, some low-level kind of lobbying type things. And anyway, so as part of that, I was sent to our state capitol to participate in a leadership intensive. And in this leadership intensive, I heard a story that I've carried around with me forever. And it's surprising because I typically hate cliche. So I don't like, I really don't like relying on things that feel like they're a cliche. But for some reason, this story just stuck in my heart. And I know it's one that you've heard. It's a story about a woman walking down a beach. Now, I think originally the story was a man, but y'all, I don't know why the men always have to be the focus of these stories. I'm going to change it to a woman just because I can. A woman walking down the beach, and she sees another person on down the beach where their arm flies back and then slings forward. And then a few minutes later, she sees them do the same thing again. That arm flies back, it slings forward, and it just keeps happening over and over again. And this woman keeps watching this person as she gets closer to them, trying to figure out what in the heck they're doing. And as she gets closer, she realizes what she's seeing is a person who is picking up starfish that have washed up on the beach. Have you heard this story? I bet you have. The person is picking up these little starfish and flinging them back into the ocean as far as they can throw them so that they have a chance to keep living, right? So they don't perish up on the sand. And when the woman gets to the person throwing the starfish in the ocean, she says, "What are you doing?" And the person says, "Well, these starfish, they've washed up on the beach. If I don't get them back in the water, they're all going to die." And the lady looks around at all the starfish on the beach and she says, "There's so many of them. How can you possibly save all of them? There's no point in this. You can't get all of them. Why do you even try?" And the person scoops another one up. The arm goes back. The arm flings forward. They throw it into the ocean. And they look the woman right in the eye and say, "It mattered to that one." I love that story. I think that really sort of encapsulates what brings us into the school counseling profession right from the outset, right? I tease the participants in our Get the Job program all the time that when they go to an interview, they are never to talk about building relationships with students. Because again, it's so cliche, it's so passe. Interview panels have heard that a million times. And the minute that comes out of your mouth, you sound like every other person that sat in that chair before you. But I do think that it does have a place in your practice when we really maintain our focus on our true drive for our work, which is connecting with students, meeting students in their individual realities, and guiding them toward their best selves, their best outcomes. That is at the heart of our work, and that's what's in our hearts when we embark in this school counseling journey. So for me, I'm trying to maintain that micro focus, that focus on where I know I've made a difference, and reminding myself that there are a lot of places when I feel like I haven't made a difference, that maybe I have. I just don't know it. You often aren't lucky enough to hear about those times, right? They just kind of fade into the background and you're just left wondering, is what I've done really worth anything? I felt really lucky a couple of weeks ago, and sorry for all the personal anecdotes, but I just really want to illustrate these points for you. I was sitting in a meeting not too long ago, and we were discussing a student's transition into the next level of their education. They'd had a difficult time, and man, I had just been working my guts out to support this student. I just adore them. I just can't wait to see what they become as they grow older, as they mature, as they gain wisdom. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in this world. But in this meeting, I was going through all of the things that I tried to be of assistance to this student. And as I walked through this list, not only did I feel overwhelmed, I couldn't help thinking, was it really worth it? Look at all this time that I invested in this student, and I really don't feel like I'm seeing any return on it. Did I make the right choice? Did I invest my time wisely? And I really wrestled with that. And I was going through the list of interventions in this meeting and all the times that I'd sought outside consultation, all the different approaches I'd tried, all the different ways I had tried to speak to the student's motivation, to their heart. I just kind of felt down about it. And the parents put their hand up and they said, Let me tell you, you've managed to get more out of them this year than we've managed to get out of years. And when they said that, I thought, wow, you know, I was looking for my expected outcome for this student. I had a picture in my mind of what I wanted to see for them. But what I failed to recognize were those incremental baby steps, right? That's our work, these incremental baby steps. And so that was a gift to me to know that they're moving in the right direction, even when I can't see it on campus, that it's being noticed. Parents noticed it. And it was really a cool moment. I hope you get a lot of those coming up here at the end of the school year. I think it's really important that we remain fixed on that locus of control, right? What is it that we actually can influence in these last weeks of the school year? What is it that we can really control? We talk to our students about this all the time, right? What's within my control? What's outside of my control? But how often do we actually sit down and take ourselves to task on that topic, right? We feel like we've got to be saving the world. We've got to change the whole campus culture. We got to get all the students to buy in. We've got to build this completely comprehensive program. Sometimes we need to take stock of what is it that we are actually in control to be able to influence at all. And then finding a way that we can accept the uncontrollable. A lot of us are really type A. We're go-getters. We like to have our to-do lists, our task lists, our boxes to check. It makes us feel like we are going somewhere. This time of year can feel frustrating if you like those kinds of things, because there are so many uncontrollable things that pop up. Schedules start getting real crazy and wonky on a lot of campuses with year-end events. Student behavior starts, shall we say, getting interesting on campuses, and then we're teasing out what needs intervention and what's, you know, end of the year hijinks kind of stuff. We have students that I think are just now starting to realize, oh crap, the school year is almost over and I'm about to lose the safety and security of my school building. And I think a lot of students start to panic and begin to seek us out for that reason. We're developing safety plans for students. We just talked about this in a recent podcast episode. Go back and find the previous episode to this one, and you'll see that summer safety plan and the template for creating those for students. We have all of these things going on. We've got to accept that there are things that we cannot control in these situations. And there are also things we cannot control just in the school counseling world at large. But where can we make the difference, right? Where can we make it matter for that one? Those are the things that I think we should be looking toward in May. Those are the things that we ought to be reflecting on and really thinking through at the end of this crazy, crazy school year. Last but not least, and I know I tell you this all the time, but I just want to remind you how important you are to your campus. Even if you have a somewhat contentious relationship with your administrator, even if it feels like nobody cares if you show up each day or not, I'm going to guarantee you the students do. There are students on your campus that are looking to see if you're there. They're seeking you out. And sometimes you don't even know why, right? You just have these kids that keep showing up and you have no idea why they're there. They never seem to have any problems to talk about. Y'all, something's driving that. And they see something in you that helps them feel more centered, more regulated, more heard or seen. That is no small thing. That is no small thing. So, to wrap up this sort of stream of consciousness episode, and if you didn't enjoy this format, stick with me because they're not all like this. Usually, we have a pretty good outline and a plan of attack for a particular topic, but this week, I just needed to speak to you from the heart. I needed to let you know that I am where you are. I get it. And I know what it's like to feel like you're just trying to get your head above water at the end of the school year. But I want to assure you, you've got this. Your work is important. It does matter. And we desperately need you in our schools. I can't wait to talk to you more about this in our mastermind chat. We hold them every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. They are phenomenal. If you're not part of our mastermind community, jump in there. Man, we need your voice in there as well. schoolforschoolcounselors.com/mastermind. We have saved you a seat at the table. It's there waiting for you. All you got to do is grab it. We'd love to see you at our next mastermind chat. All right. May the force be with you. I really, really hope that you end the school year feeling strong, feeling purposeful, and like you've done what you've set out to do. And if you don't feel that way, go back and reflect for a minute. Take an intentional 20, 30 minutes at your desk. Just reflect on the year past, the students you've seen, the issues that you've confronted, and the impacts that you've made. I think you're going to surprise yourself. Keep up all that great work, and I'll be back soon with another episode of the podcast. Until then, I hope you have the best week. Take care.